Well, here we are, and good morning. It's Thursday, the 11th of August, 2022. Welcome to Wisconsin's Coffee Break. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Producer Luke Mathers is here, and Congressman Mark Pocan is going to join us right from the get-go here. So we will have to talk later about a gorgeous weather forecast and about that amazing Brewers comeback by partial Mark Pocan doppelganger Rowdy Tellez. We'll get to that with we will not get to the congressman with that. We have much more important things to do. So let's get right into it. Congressman Mark Pocan, thanks for being here today. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. Very glad to be with you.
We were planning on really a 1-2 punch here in the first half hour here while we have you. On the one hand, you have the Inflation Reduction Act could be coming up to a vote here very shortly, and of course we want to hear what your thoughts are on the results of the primary elections and the general election campaign here to come. There's a slight twist on it in my mind, starting with the Tuesday results. And that is not just that Tim Michaels beat Rebecca Clefish, and that a Trump candidate beat another Mike Pence candidate, but the fissures, really, in my mind, broke out into the open in the very public breakup between Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Mike Gableman, the former state Supreme Court justice who's allegedly investigating the election. That as they say in Anchorman, that escalated real fast. Were you surprised? We're probably not surprised at the breakup, but were you surprised at how colorful it got on Tuesday?
Well, you think about it. If you were the Speaker of the Assembly and you hired a former Supreme Court justice who, by the way, Pat, do you know what his last job was before he was hired to be in charge of reviewing the elections in Wisconsin?
No, tell us.
It is my understanding, I want to make sure I say this correctly, that he was working at Home Depot previously, which is not the normal career path for Supreme Court justices in Wisconsin. No. And you got this job, you did the review, and you even read one of the reviews, said there's nothing really that allows you to overturn the election, was written by Mike Gableman, but he loves going to apparently MyPillow conferences and getting applause at Trump rallies, and he doesn't want to give the gig up, and he's kind of continuing this myth. And then to endorse against the person who hired you and do auto calls for that person, I think we have words that I'm not allowed to say on public airwaves no. for people like that. And, let's face it, Michael Gibbon has proven to be incompetent at every possible level in reviewing this election. So the fact that someone like Robin Voss, who's a more traditional Republican, not necessarily a MAGA Republican, but a more traditional Republican like you and I used to serve with in the legislature, is then looking at someone who, again, can't wait for the next MyPillow conference rather than actually addressing the elections issues that we allegedly had that he was reviewing. I mean, I understand the frustration. I think I would have been maybe a little more colorful in my language about Michael Gableman if I was in Robin's spot. And I certainly hope that they now end this farce and get rid of this contract and quit wasting taxpayer money.
Well, we're going to talk to State Representative Evan Goyke in the next hour. And I'll ask him about this as well. But I mean, the members of the Legislative Audit Committee jumped all over this spat as proof of the need for an audit when Gableman said Voss never wanted a quote unquote real investigation anyway. This has been, from your days back in the legislature, if you saw the other side wasting over $1 million, you'd be calling for an audit too.
Totally. And, think about how he submitted reimbursement. Remember, for expenses, they're like handwritten without any details on a sheet of paper.
Well, when you learn from the best, you put $4 billion on a cocktail napkin and call it Foxconn. I mean, that's the system we've got now.
I guess there is precedent. But, this would not be accepted by any business or any other governmental entity. And then, you just look at all of the things, and destroying records, even though he's a former Supreme Court justice, he should know the law, but apparently you don't have to practice it at Home Depot. That is a concern, right? This guy has run an absolute awful review.
And so as a result, we saw that split in the party and Tim Michaels beating Rebecca Clefish. Tell me what you think, what is the main characteristic going to be of a Tim Michaels versus Tony Evers general election campaign?
I'll tell you, between that and the Senate, we have two out of touch multimillionaires trying to be elected to represent the people of Wisconsin. Tim Michaels barely has a connection to Wisconsin, doesn't actually even live here. And, you know, Ron Johnson barely has a connection to this planet. So between the two of them, I mean, you know, I think we've got a nice contrast. People who do not live and breathe and eat and support their family like the most of us. It's definitely a difference.
Well, it was obviously reported sometime earlier about the way that Senator Ron Johnson was using private jets at times and looking for reimbursement from his, you know, his second home in Florida. So with Tim Michaels, I guess we would have somebody who probably has a private jet record himself. And if that's the commuting that we expect from our leaders these days, I guess we should all be so lucky.
I was more shocked at the debate that Tim Michaels does not understand what the job of governor is, period. And when he didn't know what a DACA recipient was, when he couldn't answer the question about his past associations for gas taxes, and now he was against them, his extremist positions that he thinks marriage should still be between a man and a woman, which is not a majority position. I mean, this is a guy who is throwing, a rich guy who is decided not to buy a hobby farm. He wants to buy a governorship. And he's kind of throwing everything else together.
Congressman Mark Pocanis here for one more segment. We'll take a break here, talk a bit more about the November matchups, and then we'll get into the Inflation Reduction Act and what it does for Wisconsin next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. Here comes the sun, and I say it's all right. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be beautiful. Just a perfect Wisconsin end of the week before maybe we'll see some slight changes in the weather over the weekend. I haven't really looked in detail. I'm living for the moment, and it's a great one. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow, joined by Congressman Mark Pocan, and we talked a little bit about the election matchup for governor. We're going to get into the Inflation Reduction Act. I would be remiss if I didn't touch on one more thing about the November matchups with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes going up against Ron Johnson. You obviously know them both, so there, you know, there's personal qualities about each of them that I'm sure you can share. From the standpoint of Mandela Barnes, what is it that you think people outside your area in southern Wisconsin are going to learn about him over the next 90 days?
Very impressive, charismatic, bright person. When he ran for lieutenant governor, I was one of the first people to endorse him because I knew him as a legislator, and very qualified and ready to be an effective U.S. senator. Ron Johnson, on the other hand, curious what planet he originally came from. You know, this is a guy who is the most confidently, arrogantly confident person about his lack of information I've ever seen.
If I've learned nothing over the years, it's that, you know, money buys a lot of arrogance. You really get that in bulk at a certain point.
I'll tell you my favorite, very quick story, if I can. He had a meeting in his office at a time Wisconsin was having a problem getting rail cars for agricultural products to leave to get coal to power plants and to get paper out from some of the paper plants because we have the perfect shape frac sand. They were taking up all the rail cars. He had a special meeting in his office, and I was the only person who showed up at the meeting. He invited the whole congressional delegation, and I thought it was to try to get more rail cars. He was actually there arguing on behalf of the railroad barons, not the very industries in Wisconsin that needed access. And it's just an example of how out of touch he is.
You know, another example that we're going to talk about later in the show that we posted on UpNorthNewsWI.com last night is how rural Wisconsin, well, all of Wisconsin has had real setbacks with the U.S. Postal Service, the delays and the cutbacks. And we remind people that it was in late 2020 that Ron Johnson convened a hearing specifically to defend Louis DeJoy, Trump's Postmaster General, and to say, we don't need to get the Postal Service out from underneath their artificial financial burden. We need to roll back overtime pay for carriers. You know, so that is completely in keeping with what I think people are going to be hearing about the senator throughout the 3 months here.
And don't forget his response when 1,000 jobs building electric vehicles for the Postal Service were supposed to happen in the Fox Valley area. Instead, they went to a non-union state in South Carolina by Oshkosh Corporation. He said, well, we already have a lot of jobs here in Wisconsin. I don't think I've ever heard any elected official say we have too many jobs in our state.
No. In fact, people still do need, a government that is functional, and that is being proven in the Inflation Reduction Act, which has many different pieces. So we'll get to as many as we can here in our 10-minute visit here. I'll get to what you like best about it in the moment, but let's start from a Wisconsin impact as you're talking to people about this legislative package. What do you think about, what do you see in it that is going to have some real Wisconsin impact for us?
Sure. A couple areas. So first of all, I mean, we have worldwide inflation. The fact that we're able to try to do something to reduce energy costs and healthcare costs is important, and it's going to get done tomorrow. I'm flying to DC today to make sure we get that vote done. I think the out-of-pocket costs for seniors on prescription drugs being capped at $2,000 and the ability for Medicare to negotiate for prescription drug prices. It's amazing that we never had that. We didn't use our volume buying. We've been paying more than any other country for prescription drugs. That alone is going to have a huge, huge impact on the average person, especially the average retiree. And then the second part of it, Pat, is the climate change stuff, reducing our emissions by 40% by 2030 and creating the jobs here in the United States for alternative forms of energy are going to create jobs right here in Wisconsin that will get people working with good family supporting wages. And I guess the cherry on top of this, or the dessert with this meal, is that we're having it paid for by people who've often found ways to find every loophole in the tax code not to pay their taxes, corporations that haven't even paid a minimum of 15% and going after some of the other wealthy folks who've evaded what we pay in taxes. I think that combination plus other issues are going to make this very powerful in reducing energy costs and reducing healthcare costs for people.
And is there anything else that you, I asked you first about Wisconsin impact. I'm guessing that the climate provisions are the things that you personally really like. Any other matters there that you look at that and think, boy, am I glad that made the final cut?
I'll tell you, I mean, it's really general areas. I mean, the energy and healthcare are the strongest on it. I mean, there are some other areas, but you know, a lot of these things were in Build Back Better, right? And then they took the things that were best able to help reduce inflation and best able to get through bluntly to Democratic senators that sometimes can be a problem. But, you know, we've had no lifting from the Republicans on any of the bills we've got done. Last year, the American Rescue Plan that got money into pockets, people's pockets, shots into arms, kids back into school safely, people into jobs. Then in last year, at the end of the year, we did the infrastructure bill. It's going to create 1.5 million jobs around the country and put in 500,000 electric charging stations across the country. That is significant overall. And then this bill, I mean, any one session I've been in Congress, any one of these bills would have been the crowning, you know, item that we got done. Now we've got three of them done this session alone.
And that, you know, that, and there was, you know, gun safety measures and plenty of other things where actually President Biden has you know, racked up such an impressive list. And yet the narrative has always been, well, the Democrats wanted 100 things in the bill and they only got these, you know, however many. So it wasn't 100% of what they wanted. So somewhere they must have fallen short. And I mean, we can preach to the choir all day about the silliness of that. But I will say, before we leave that notion of what didn't get in the bill, I would have to ask, what one thing didn't make it that if you could put it back in, you would? Was there one of them that you just thought was really frustrating?
Without question, the childcare provisions that you could be capped at 7% of your income going to childcare. We've been told by business leaders in the state the number one thing holding people back from getting a job is the cost of childcare. And you could save the average family making $100,000 as a combined income with a child, a three-year-old child in childcare, about $8,600 a year. It's significant.
We're talking to Congressman Mark Pocan before he heads to Washington to give final passage to the Inflation Reduction Act, which you know, it is going to build back better, even if that's not in the title of the bill anymore. But you know, people don't always like to hear other people like me talk about the process of something. But frankly, when the process of something is what's getting in the way, it's worth talking about. And in this case, I'm referring to the filibuster, something you don't have to deal with in the House of Representatives, and frankly, something senators shouldn't have to deal with. It's an artificial construct, but it's there. when Dan Schaefer wrote his really great article on Mandela Barnes in the New York Times yesterday, he noted how, you know, Mandela's putting filibuster reform, you know, front and center because people are understanding that is what is keeping so many good things from happening. Do you agree that that's that putting the filibuster on trial is useful, or like a lot of the consultants, well, they say, you know, don't waste your time on talking about that?
Yeah, so there's a reason I didn't run for the U.S. Senate. to be blunt, Pat, and part of that is they still follow rules that were designed when people wore powdered white wigs to work. We don't do that, although people still in Congress do wear wigs, just a different kind of wig. But the bottom line is, you know, it has changed over time, the filibuster. It was not part of when the country was created. It was added later because there was no way to stop debate in the Senate. And it changed over the years and was used quite against good public policy, especially in Jim Crow laws and those issues in that time period. Right now, it is completely blocking the Senate from being able to work. Any other body, whether it be the state legislative body that we served in, Congress, any local government, a majority simply would rule. But in the Senate, you have to get to this, for whatever reason, 60 vote margin out of 100 to get many things done. Well, it's rare you're going to have one party in control of 60 votes. And right now, when the Republicans refuse to work with you on almost anything, something like, think about it, only 7 Republicans were willing to cap the cost of insulin at $35 when 100 years ago almost is when the patent originally came out, and Big Pharma has figured out how to game the system and rip off consumers all this time. That's because we have some rules that we need to be changing, and we're not wearing the white powdered wigs. We don't need the filibuster anymore, and it is beyond logic why we continue to have it in place.
In your case, in the House of Representatives, you're looking at Democrats who have control narrowly, would like to hold it, if not build on it. And right next door to you is one of the districts that will truly decide that, the 3rd Congressional District in Western and parts of Central Wisconsin. And you have not been shy at all about discussing, you know, the dangers of the presumptive Republican nominee. But I want to start first by tipping my cap for making sure that people understood that after the primary, with Brad Paff emerging from that 4-candidate field, that you have a group of Democrats that, you know, are united and ready to go ahead, which, by the way, is not the easiest thing to do. On my Facebook memories today, came up from 4 years ago today, was when my good friend Dana Walks got out of the gubernatorial primary. It was clear, you know, Tony Evers had the support. And so we, you know, got behind him. There was an event in Eau Claire, but that's still not the easiest day. And it wasn't an easy day for those candidates yesterday, but you helped them send a good message.
I'll tell you, they are all great candidates and they all want to unify behind Brad Paff. But to be fair, they're also unifying against the candidate who the Republicans are putting up, a guy named Derek Van Orden. He ran against Ron Kind last time, lost by 20,000 votes. But Pat, and this is not, this should be fiction, and it's not. This is exactly what he's done since that election. He has attended the January 6th insurrection improperly using campaign funds. Can't do that. It's against the rules, the law, AKA. He got in a fight with a 17-year-old library intern at Prairie du Chien Library over an LGBTQ book display, and then proceeded to check out all the books but one because someone was reading it with the intent not to return it. He tried to carry a loaded gun onto a plane in Iowa, and he's now on probation for doing that. And most recently, the 10-year-old rape victim in Ohio, he tweeted out basically that they were lying. And then at the end of the day, when he found out he was wrong, his response was, "I stand corrected." He didn't apologize to a 10-year-old rape victim. He took himself into consideration that he stood corrected. I mean, this is a guy who will make Marjorie Taylor Greene look like a moderate. And to have him from Wisconsin, where we've never had that in our delegation, would really be awful.
Which is really saying something when you consider our delegation includes Glenn Grothman and now Toxic Tom Tiffany. And not that we wouldn't be talking about those races if things were a little less gerrymandered. Goodness knows that they have provided fodder. Scott Fitzgerald for his role in, you know, helping with the, you know, the insurrection through the fake electors, facilitating a room at the state capitol. But again, you know, putting Van Orden in there would be. But make all that look like child's play. I have that sense as well, Congressman Mark Pocan joining us, and then heading off to D.C. for that final passage vote on the Inflation Reduction Act, which will have quite an impact and another notch of wins for President Joe Biden. Congressman, it was great to have you here. Thank you so much for the visit.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. As always, appreciate it.
All right. So we, as I mentioned, we just talked to the congressman there. And in our next hour, we will talk on state legislative matters with Evan Goyke, state representative from the Milwaukee area, where, again, you have the need for a functional legislative branch of government. And some people want to work that, and some people would just rather be on TV for all the wrong reasons. We will take a break, and we will talk a bit about the PACT Act, something else Ron Johnson voted against to help veterans and their health. After this, you're Up North.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Thursday morning in Wisconsin. Sign up for our newsletter at that website as well, upnorthnewswi.com. Click on newsletter up in the banner, and you'll see the fine stack of news that we present every day. You can reach the show at 715-388-7155 and our email address radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Tomorrow, our guests include UW-Milwaukee professor Melissa Scanlon, who will discuss the climate aspects of the Inflation Reduction Act, whether it will move the needle, what are its strengths and weaknesses, and what kinds of investments could result in near-term gains. She is a funding member of the state's first environmental law firm, Midwest Environmental Advocates, and she's currently the chair in water policy at UW-Milwaukee School of Freshwater Sciences and director of the Center for Water Policy. So I think she knows her stuff. So we will talk about the climate provisions that are in the Inflation Reduction Act. Brewers get a nice win yesterday afternoon, 4-3. Rowdy Tellez, that's it. That would be what you want to say. He tied the game with a home run in the ninth inning, and then had the play of the game in my mind was in the 10th inning, because now, you know, each team gets an automatic runner on second base to start the inning. The very first pitch of the 10th inning is a ground ball to Rowdy Tellez, who's playing in, thankfully, and therefore had enough time, if you throw it right, and he did, to get that automatic runner out at third as he was trying to stretch it out, prevent it to run. And then Willie Adames with the walk-off hit. I guess his first one as a Brewer. I feel like I've seen so many good walk-off hits. I didn't realize that was the first one for Willie, but...
Really? I didn't know that either. That would shock me. I feel like he had a walk-off home run.
I thought so too. And again, that's just the note that was on the screen during the telecast. So I'm not going to say that they were wrong. just telling you what I saw. You know, but you know, quite the celebration on the field afterwards. And you know, I've been down on the team a little bit, enough to go, all right, that, you know, you didn't just win the division here. You know, meanwhile, Luke sporting his Brewers cap, you know, to show that he's the better fan than I am. But the Brewers do sweep the Rays in the short two-game series and in the four-game season series.
Yeah, and so the wheels on Taylor, though, too, to get home on that single by Adames was very impressive, because they still had the relay, and it was kind of a weird pitch into home plate, but Taylor going in for that go-ahead run at the bottom of the 10th was impressive as well, because do you know how they choose the go-ahead runner? Is it just the last out?
It's the last out.
The last out gets to go to it? Okay, yeah. So I guess we were just lucky that the last out was Taylor, because he put those wheels on and he got home, and that was great.
And he apparently also made two excellent catches in center field. Keston Hiram made an outstretched diving play as well. So everything that I said about the defense back on Monday, I take it all back. The defense is back. They've managed. Way to go. I have to walk back my comments in much the same way. One Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, appears to have walked back some of his comments on Chief Elections Inspector Michael Gableman, the Inspector Clouseau of Wisconsin politics. You will recall that on Tuesday night, after Assembly Speaker Voss fended off a Republican challenger in the primary from the MAGA far right, Voss called Gableman an embarrassment And I noted late yesterday that Emily Fannin from CBS 58 said Voss has now walked it back, saying he was referring to Gableman's actions, noting the review became partisan once the former justice engaged in partisan politics. He did a really good job until that in February, Voss said. So apparently he was very happy with Gableman at first, and basically just said, you know, Gableman got a little too full of himself, got too attached to the camera. But again, as Congressman Pocan just said, this is not new. He was at the MyPillow rallies. He was at Stop the Steal rallies. He, you know, was a grenade thrower while he was on the Supreme Court. So, you know, none of this should be surprising that, you know, when you play with fire, you're going to get burned. And that's what happened. But Governor Tony Evers, as we mentioned yesterday, meeting with his new running mate, State Assembly Rep Sarah Rodriguez. They met in Madison in a diner and talked. And then the governor talked to reporters afterwards. And in the two bites we'll play back to back here, Evers has a pretty direct message about, you know, what Voss and others should be doing vis-a-vis the 2020 election.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I put the wrong
evergreen soundbite.
I'm so sorry.
Evergreen soundbite. Yeah, any button you push, that one could come up from Robin Voss.
But no, here is actually the governor yesterday.
Our elections are fair and safe and secure. Joe Biden won. Tim, get over it.
It's a very direct message to Tim Michaels, the Connecticut businessman who is running for Wisconsin governor. And, you know, we will have to see where Michaels stands on all this on any given day, or as we learned yesterday, any given hour. Recall that it was late in the show yesterday. I think you were the one that noticed it first, Luke. A New York Times reporter tweeted that, you know, the Michaels website had been scrubbed of the Trump endorsement in a key part of the homepage. And yet, mere minutes after that was made noted on Twitter by the New York Times reporter, lo and behold, the endorsement was back. It was the Lazarus of endorsements and has made it back onto the webpage now.
I feel so bad for the staffer that was probably like, we're going to take this off real quick, and then realize quickly how much blowback there was, because pretty much all of the statewide reporters at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, at the State Journal, picked up on that New York Times reporter sharing that update on the website immediately. And so it happened so quickly. Within 10, 15 minutes, this went from being removed to being put back on. And I have a feeling the Michaels camp doesn't really know what to do with that Trump endorsement right now.
No, I don't think they do. I think that they, now again, every campaign does internal polling, you know, as much as they can. And, you know, that's essentially the way they, you know, lick their finger and put it up to the wind and see how things are going. And, you know, what does a Trump endorsement mean? What does that Trump baggage do? Was it, you know, harmed or helped by federal agents executing that search warrant at Mar-a-Lago to see if he was mishandling classified documents, outright breaking the law with the way that he was, what he was doing with those classified documents. So as Trump's fortunes go up and down, so do Tim Michaels. I mean, they really are joined at the hip from now through November, no different than, you know, the candidates in Arizona, Michigan, Georgia. This is basically a ticket that's going to, you know, rise and fall with Trump's fortunes. Yes, there will be other circumstances in Wisconsin, you know, that determine this race as well. But as we've said before, there's a block of Trump supporters who hadn't voted previously. They just thought, you know, I don't like any of these politicians. They see a Donald Trump come along and go, oh, now here's a guy speaking my language. You know, and so now you have, you know, Tim Michaels, he's speaking my language, and these other officials in other states. Did they only come out, you know, to support Trump? And, you know, will they be motivated enough? They certainly, in a primary, there were enough of them. But what about in a general election? A, will they turn out? B, will there be enough of them to give somebody like Tim Michaels the advantage? Well, like I said, there will be many other issues that will be discussed in the campaign, including whether elected officials on the ballot right now are working on behalf of the people or are they not? And that takes us to the PACT Act, the bill that covers, many veterans who were exposed to toxic burn pits while they were overseas in war zones and in other areas and staging zones and such. And without trying to, bring back the entire process, again, we have to talk about process, just like the filibuster. Part of the process is whether a bill, gets a vote that enables it to go to its final vote. All right, two very different things. And if you're voting in that first vote, if you're voting not to let the bill go to its final vote, technically you're not voting against the bill. But what you're saying is, well, if somebody wants to filibuster it to death and it never comes up for a final vote, I'm okay with that. And that's what Ron Johnson did, not once but twice, with the PACT Act. And by the way, Wisconsin House Republicans, when the bill was actually up, had voted no as well in the past. But it did finally pass. It did finally go to President Joe Biden for his signature. And, as Biden said in his bill signing ceremony, a lot of people worked together to make this long overdue bill happen.
This law is long overdue, but we finally got it done together. And I don't want to hear the press tell me Democrats, Republicans can't work together. We got it done and we got it done together.
And happened that way, again, only because, again, not every Senate Republican ultimately voted for the bill. Ron Johnson did, but not before, that previous vote we talked about. But the president talked about, the debt that we owe our veterans, the ones who put themselves in harm's way, who knew they were in harm's way, but that does not mean that you can just, burn toxic material next to them and then not take care of them when they come home. That care is a sacred obligation. Here's how the president put it.
Less than 1% of you risk everything to defend 99% of the population. 1% risk 99%. We owe you. As a nation, we have many obligations. I've been saying this for a long, long time. We have many obligations, only one truly sacred obligation: to equip those we send into harm's way and to care for them and their families when they come home.
I think it's important as well, Pat, to recall that Bo Biden got cancer after serving overseas. So this is a extremely close to home issue for the president.
Yeah. That's where I was going to go next cut number 15 of our Biden soundbites here. He has seen this. He knows firsthand, through his family, what these things can do.
I was in and out of Iraq over 20 times, and in Fort Barnstable, and all those places. And you could actually see some of it in the air. Burn pits the size of football fields that incinerated wastes of war, such as tires, poisonous chemicals, jet fuel, and so much more I won't even mention.
So will this do any good? One last note from the president. He says this is going to matter. This is going to make a difference.
This new law matters. It matters a lot. It matters a great deal because these conditions have already taken such a toll on so many veterans and their families.
Needless to say, along with talking about the PACT Act, the president has been asked about the Inflation Reduction Act and, what it will do. Is it enough? What about the things that didn't get done? You also had a very good inflation report for the past month. Again, things were bad, but they were bad globally and things are starting to come down here. That's where the president said in cut 23 here, Luke, that he believes that, what he's doing now and when this bill passes will make a difference to the American people.
Our work is far from over, but two things should be clear. First, the economic plan is working. And second is building an economy that will reward work.
And that's really what this has to be about. We have had for far too long an economy, an economic policy in the country that rewards wealth more than it rewards work. If you want to reward them the same, I wouldn't, but that's a decision that you can make. But surely what nobody wants in this economy is one that rewards wealth more than work, meaning the tax exemptions, the loopholes, the disincentive to reinvest. I mean, this is basic economics for us. And frankly, I wish they'd bring back some of like the old, you know, Elmer Fudd cartoons and things that explain that, you know, it is a good thing to plow your profits back into your company, into your workforce, into capital, and not stock buybacks, which simply make, you know, people with wealth even better off. To the extent that Joe Biden and Democrats in control are starting to put that pendulum back where it should be for American capitalism to work best, that serves us all. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be back.
From Lake Wasota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
On a Thursday morning, you know what that means for tomorrow. Get your hashtag ready, get your photos ready for Dad Shirt Friday. We're going to make that a thing one way or the other. So Dad Shirt Friday tomorrow. You got a photo of your favorite dad shirt or your dad in a dad shirt or your own selfie. You know, I don't know how quite we'll judge it. It's totally subjective, but I think we need to come up with the most dad-ish dad shirt. And we can, you know, define what that means to make it the most dad shirt, but we'll work on that. And you would send that photo or description to radio@upnorthnewswi.com.
Or tag them on Facebook and Twitter. You can use that hashtag and share it that way too.
Actually, that works great. Use that. Well, like I said, when I looked last week, there are very few hashtag Dad Shirt Friday tags out there, you know, anytime recently. So, you know, if we see it on there, we're going to assume it's, you know, because it's one of you. And thank you for being you. From the mailbag, Daniel Erickson writes, quote, "I feel sorry for Robin Voss. He sold his soul and the check bounced." Truer words might never have been spoken. Daniel, thank you for that note. Let's talk quirky Wisconsin, because in my never-ending quest to tell you what we're working on the website and in our newsletter, we received a nice freelance article about how, you know, Wisconsin does live up to its expectations for, you know, the lakes, the woods, the cows, the lively cities. But there are also some rather quirky and unexpected things that you'll find here, as you will, you know, in other places. So here are some that are listed in this article at upnorthnewswi.com, and we'll see if you've either been to them or if they trigger memories of other places that should be on a future list of quirky Wisconsin road trips. One I've heard of before, have never been to it, but it's Goats on the Roof in Sister Bay. Yeah, at a Swedish family-owned restaurant, you'll find more than excellent, you know, meatballs. You'll find goats up on the roof from the hooved ones at Al Johnson's Swedish restaurant in Door County. I still cannot believe that Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg has not come up with a cross promotion effort for this, but I think you had to wait to see that would the goats work in back-to-back years in the park? They do. So I think some entrepreneur in Wausau, the time has come to be in touch with the folks at Al Johnson's and figure out how you can get goats on the roof of your restaurant before they come back next year to visit central Wisconsin.
Al Johnson's has been expanding over the number of years. They've got like an outdoor beer garden now. It's a great visit. My family goes up to Door County every single year for Labor Day weekend, and we usually almost always stop at Al Johnson's. We watched the Badger game there last year. It's a great setup, an outdoor venue, and the goats are always entertaining.
And there's still no goats on the menu, right? Because we've established that I'm not opposed to that. But
I don't believe I would have to double check the
all
menu.
All right, just want probably not the best way to go. But you know, when I lived in the Caribbean for a time, you know, there are always chickens in front of the KFC there, you know, because the chickens just run wild. You'd find them there. So why you wouldn't, you know, entertain the goats at a restaurant? I don't know. Again, the offer's still there. If anybody would like to lend me a goat or two for a little while, just to take care of my buckthorn problem, I would be so indebted. So again, very open for goats, either for invasive species purposes or dinner. Another quirky stop, of course, would be the world's largest six-pack in La Crosse. Any idea, Luke? I've got to think you've seen these in lacrosse at some point, the six pack.
I have not. I didn't know this existed out there.
Oh, okay. Well, it is. It's simply six big tanks that are outside the old G. Heilemann Brewery, and so they were painted to look like a six pack of old style. So the old style cans were there for many years, but then the brewery was eventually sold. The tanks were repainted white, but it didn't take a lot of squinting to still see the logo underneath. The new owners eventually realized that beer cans make for a better draw, so they placed new labels wallpapered onto the tanks bearing the logo of Lacrosse Lager. And the facility still offers tours, and the six pack still makes a great photo opportunity when you're there. Speaking of things that you may not be aware of, and not to bring great shame and embarrassment to my wife, but she's from Manitowoc County. And when I told her about this next one, she did not know this existed. The Sputnik crash site in Manitowoc. Manitowoc was placed on the space age map in September of 1962, before either of us were born, when a piece of Sputnik 4 crash landed downtown. It had been up in space for about 2 years, but the Russians failed in their effort to guide it back home. So a 20-pound chunk of metal escaped and crash landed right in front of the art gallery that it now calls home. So that's the Rar West Art Museum. There is a replica of Sputnik there. Visitors can also see the exact spot where a brass ring was placed. And apparently, in September, the town celebrates Sputnik Fest. And this year, the extravaganza will be set for September 10th. And I have to say, I've been married to somebody from there for 35 years. And had never heard about this until this article came in. I had to go and verify it just to make sure. Mine would be Skylab. A lot of people don't remember Skylab anymore, but I remember when that first space station came down, and that was the first time something that big was plummeting from the heavens, and it was a real concern worldwide where this thing was going to go. I mean, again, this is pre Bruce Willis. We couldn't send him up. Take that out with what's his face? Who was in there with Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we couldn't send them up. So we all watched and watched it come down. You've heard of the House on the Rock in Fountain City. There's the rock in the house, much in the same vein of crash landings. So in this one, the title really tells you all you need to know. In 1995, a 55-ton boulder rolled down a hill and crashed into the house's master bedroom, and the boulder remains there today because why in God's name would you try to move a 55-ton boulder if you don't have to? And if you're a local realtor, you can simply purchase the damaged house and now run a very unique open house. It's open April through October daily from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Let's see. We got time for one more here. Oh, the Mustard Museum in Middleton. Again, one of our early stories at Up North News. The National Mustard Museum is in Middleton. And they are very serious about their mustard. When COVID was first hitting in April of 2020, the staff took great precautions, but had to make sure that the annual worldwide mustard competition could still go on. Again, mustard not necessarily my thing, but you're from that area, Luke, so I'm guessing maybe you've seen it or even stopped in.
Yeah, Barry was just celebrating National Mustard Day last Saturday, so the museum was doing some promotion here on Devil Radio in Madison, and they had National Mustard Day. They shut down a street in Middleton and everything. It was a blast. Mustard flavored ice cream, and
stop. Now I got to fill the coffee cup and, get rid of that taste in my mouth. State Representative Evan Goyke is going to help us talk about legislative races coming up next. You're Up North.